We're struggling around that. We're struggling.
Struggling.
You don't have to rub it in. Yeah.
I struggle getting out of locker.
I think it's running as well.
Okay, I've got 1:31. We'll go ahead and call this special meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order, noting that there is a quorum of the court that is present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin with a word of prayer. God, we're so thankful to have you in our lives, and we come before you asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so blessed with the cooler temperatures and the rains that you've given us, and we would ask that you continue to bless us as you see fit. Lord, we're also asked that you plant us your hand of protection on our first responders that protect us here on earth as you watch over us from heaven. And Lord, as always, we would ask that you place your hand of guidance and wisdom on this court so that we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this afternoon? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this afternoon? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is discussion of possible action concerning projects for the Disaster Relief Reallocation Program, DRRP grant, administered by the GLO, which Coryell County is eligible under disaster declarations of 2015 and 2016. And just to kind of the big picture summary of this is these are funds that have been left over from several different disasters, to include some hurricanes up through 2018, not the most recent 4781, but previous monies that have been allocated. And so in an effort for the state to not to return that money to the federal government, they have come up with a plan for these little bits of money that's pretty large, substantial. But in collecting all of that, putting it together, and approval through Housing and Urban Development, as well as FEMA, to reallocate those funds, again, in an effort so that wouldn't go back to the federal government. With that, under this particular program, we are eligible, under the rules that's outlined, we are eligible to submit up to three projects with a minimum value of $500,000 and a maximum value of $2 million each. And with that, in previous discussions, I've reached out to the city of Coppers Cove. They're looking at potential of submitting a project under the umbrella of the county, and they would be, you know, they would be required to come up with any matching funds for their portion. And the city of Gatesville, the same offer has been extended to provide or to see if they would like to submit a project. And with that, Mr. Manning and Mr. Vaden, I think, have been in some discussions about a potential project that the county could submit. I've looked over some of the information. I think it's viable. It would complement some programs that the county has already invested in. I think it would, I think it is very appropriate. And what I'll do in the interest of time is I'll turn it over to Mr. Manning, kind of give us the once over. I'm sure you were going to slide that over to Caroline probably. But if you'll tell us your part of it, and then Billy, if you've got anything to add as far as those discussions as well.
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. Caroline, you want to hand out?
Yeah.
So we've got a handout for all the members of court and sheriff's will back to sheriff's office. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Judge, as you may recall, we were together at a meeting with the land office about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and they alerted you the fact that this land was going to come open, and they, as you may recall, they encouraged the county to consider applying for emergency management communications funding. And so this the thing that Caroline's handed you is that a project, it's really three, the project has three components. One of those is around equipment and software for all the volunteer fire departments in the county. And Billy would be better able to speak to that. I'm going to say that we've had some meetings with the fire departments to get an understanding of what they needed, and we put something in for that. The second component is the county for a long time has been experiencing dead spots for the radio communications, particularly in the Evan, Turnersville, and Southern Cove area. And I believe there's a component in there that would address those. Again, Billy Vaden would probably be better able to describe what's going on there. The third component is around the sheriff's office. Additional, this would be an enhancement of their existing system. The judge, as you talked about, they do not have a working computer-assisted dispatch for the sheriff's office. And I think they could talk about that. So those three components are put together into one project. They all come under the umbrella of emergency management communications. They stay within the $2 million sideboards that were provided us by the state. And also, you mentioned match. So one thing I want to say at the very front end, I don't know if this really jumps out at you in the handout we gave you, but we've run some traps on this. We'll be able to use the equipment that we are using with the sheriff's office that we're putting in now. We'll make the match for this so that the county will not be out any money. So the equipment that we're providing under license to the sheriff's office that are going in their patrol cars right now will match this project. It actually will overmatch it more than the 10% that's needed. So we'll get those points, and the county will not be looking for those funds. So David can answer any technical questions. When we get to Caroline's going to have the process down, the timelines and all that, we can talk about that. The one thing I'll say, and if I get in trouble, clean this up, we're under a very limited time frame to get the application in. The window closes on the 21st. We're sitting here on the 18th. Yeah, we're 3 days. And so she's been all over that portal. It's not a very long process. We'll be glad to help. The application has to come from the official with the county. It cannot come from us or anybody else. Y'all have a security anybody to do that. Y'all need to make the application. The portal is open until close of business on the 21st, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the process, the way this will work, the first application does not need a lot of detail. It needs numbers and just a general description, which you kind of got in front of you, a little bit of other information. It will score based off of a system that's built in the portal. The state will come back. If they like what they see, they'll come back, and they will invite, they'll invite other apps that you back to reapply with more detail in February.
February 17th.
And then that application window will stay open for 60 days.
Yes.
And close 16 April, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. And so we've got a little time. The trick here is to make sure we get invited back. So we want to have an application that meets their requirements. It gives them enough information to see the survival project. Then we would come back. Assuming we get invited back, we'd have 60 days in to put together a much more detailed application and get it submitted. So that's sort of the process. The main thing now is just to make sure we don't miss the timeline that we get the application in before the portal closes Thursday. So as far as the different components, I might, if you're okay, Billy, I might ask you to talk about the fire department, the radio piece, because you kind of know what you talk to fire departments, you know what the show the digital equipment. If you're right, busy about that a little bit. Well, first thing I talked about, you want me to talk about or us talk about the computers going into the fire?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now, yeah. Okay, so David, you want to talk a little bit about what we're doing with the fire departments, the equipment and whatnot?
Sure. So we got a list from Mr. Bain about some of the equipment needs around the county from the volunteer fire department. And so at the same time, we're putting together to kind of make this thing work with iPads and some kind of off-the-shelf equipment like that will actually integrate into the system. Designing some software that will allow us to do that as we speak, actually. And so we'll just need the hardware to be able to run that. And so we've put together this list of equipment, and this includes really most, if not all, non-volunteer for all the fire departments across the county. And this will allow them to be able to access incidents that's going on around the county. It'll allow them to see in real time other vehicles and assets around the county that's going on. And so that's part of the bigger picture that we're building for the law enforcement and EMS and things like that. So this is just another piece to that puzzle, and it's the hardware piece. And so that's part of this cost that you see under the emergency hardware. That's not all of that. But part of that cost, about a little over 200K, is going to, as Steve said, the match part. And so that's going to be the hardware, the communication devices that's being installed into the sheriff's vehicles currently. As of now, I believe we have 4 units with this installed, and we're looking at doing about 28 more. And so that's that number. And that'll cover the cost share of this. So that's kind of the hardware piece of this whole system.
So the idea is to, we had a chance to sit down with the fire departments back a month ago, and visit with them a little bit. And so came back and listened to what they said. Some of the fire departments were concerned about, they liked the idea, but they're concerned about the cost for the licenses and all that. We've got money built into this grant to cover that for the first 2 years. So the fire departments, we could put the equipment in and cover all the support and the licensing, like going back to Esri and all that would be paid for the first 2 years. And we can see if they like it, and maybe that gives us enough time to figure out if there's a way to keep it going. So for the fire department piece, component number one, that would be the equipment, software, support, the license, everything we would need to get them integrated in the system that the sheriff's operating. The sheriff's department's been operating now for about a year. So I'll stop and see if y'all got any questions on the volunteer fire department piece. Yeah.
What's that annual cost for that license and all that?
So once we get past the grant piece, the ESRI license is our editor license. What's it?
Around $300.
Around $300 per unit. There's a cheaper one, but you wouldn't be able to enter anything. You can just read only, and that's about half that cost.
$150. So we've got built in, you see the 2-year license and support. We've got built in license cost as well as support cost.
Software support license, all the first 2 years, fire department's not out anything. Then gives them a chance to run it. Our thought is they can see if they like it. We're talking about 56 or 57 vehicles. We may not all those may be equipped. If not, that's okay. But we're going to try to see if we can get enough for everybody. Like I said, the biggest limitation I heard when we met was that some of them were concerned about paying for licenses. You know, we already knew we could get the equipment, but we figured out we could get the money for the licenses too. So, questions on that?
Does that, the 56, 57 vehicles we're talking about, does that cover all of the vehicles for the volunteer fire departments?
That's actually them plus a few extras, basically missing.
Okay.
It should cover all of them. And it may be that Cox Co., for instance, they may not want to plug those systems in.
Yeah.
But we would have the ability to do that if they want to. But it would certainly cover all the rest of the smaller departments out in the, well, even the Gainesville, everybody. It puts them on the same system with the sheriff's office, so like the real time tracking and velocity and all that, they'd be able to plug into that.
That even includes fork devices equipment.
Yeah,
we've had some use in their fire department, so they would have a number of vehicles plugged into that. Their fire department. Y'all okay to go on to the second piece?
I don't know if Mr. Taylor's answer question you got totally answered. So 2 year license and support on here is $336,168 a year, but then you said it's $300 a unit thereafter. So that's only $17,100 a year. Where is the big gap? In other words, how are we gonna budget for this in 2 years from now?
So the software development for the first piece of that, the state grant is covering that, Commissioner.
Okay.
That's the big, you're going to hear about the sheriff's office and their well, head piece. If you look at that, there's a front end cost. It's pretty good. The state's covering the front end cost. Once we get past that, the license, the ESRI license, we don't think that's going to be much. It's a lot of money to small fire departments, but it's not the same as what you're looking at there. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say that he said $300, but you could get the small license where you can't add or subtract stuff. So most little fire trucks don't need to add or subtract, I assure you.
They get the $150.
They get the $150. So you're cutting that in half.
Well, even in the scheme of things, $300 at 57, that's $17,100 a year. That's doable. Now I get the so your development fee and everything is in the 2 year portion.
Let the state pay for that.
Right. That's you. Okay.
For that, the velocity, the tracking, getting all that cranked up.
All of it.
So it's more than just the 300.
Right. You want to talk about radios? Ready to go to that one? I don't want to rush anybody.
Sounds good to me. All
right. Let's go with radios.
You talk about radios.
Okay. So all of you may or may not know, there are areas inside the county where the two-way radio system doesn't work. Cox Co. would be the first areas, and that's not so important for fire, but it's very important for the sheriff's office. Those guys over there have no way to talk back over here to their station. They really have no way to communicate among themselves unless they go get in the car. A lot of work is done outside the car. When we go over there for fire, Copper's Cove dispatch over puts us on a separate channel, and they patch that into their system and their system into our system, and we can talk to each other. So even though we have in the figures a fire channel into Copper's Cove, that would be a place we could cut if we have to. But we are putting a two repeater system in Lampasas County nearly, but in Evant. That's another place that there's, for the sheriff's office and for fire, there is no coverage out there. So we're putting a system out there. And the system out there, if we put it in where we want to put it, where we think it'll go, we have experimented with mobile repeater systems out there. We can get way back in there to the Copper's Cove area, so that would help us out that way. The other area that's dead is around Turnersville, Jonesboro, back in there. We can find a repeater site around Turnersville, then we would put one somewhere out in there. That keeps Jonesboro, Turnersville, all that. Then we got Levada. They would get the the event tower, they would get the Gatesville tower. We're hoping that will improve our communications greatly. Now, when I say towers, there would be two channels per tower. Be a law enforcement channel and a fire channel. They will not be the same on each site. They will be separate. This is what Lampasas County is doing right now. So they have an east tower, a west tower, and a central tower. So you've got to know in your vehicle, if you're in E-van, we will call that west. You'll have to go to the west channel, and that will get you communications out there. All that will come back to the sheriff's office where the dispatchers can hear it. But it will not be the same as the county sheriff channel is now. Fire channel will not be the same as county fire is now. So each site will be standalone. And then inside this system, inside this price, is a dispatch console for the sheriff's office, much like we have in the 911 center now, much like the one that we bought last year, put in the mobile command center. And it will enable her to listen to all those channels at once, push a button, talk on them all at once, tie them all together if she needs to. So we have seamless communications. And it's just a computer-aided dispatch. I don't want to call it a CAD, but that's what it is. It's two computers or a computer that runs a program that does all that for you. That's beyond my ability, other than a bunch of buttons. So it's a very good system. It's kind of a cheap way to do it. As Steve asked me, how would you do it? I would put a trunking system in. And this is the start of a trunking system. A lot of the stuff that we got prices on, we put some trunking stuff in it. So as the county grows and we can add trunking, we will not have to go back and buy new repeaters. It's already in there. It's just an accessory you put in there when you're building them. But I think it ended up at $420,000. The actual cost is only about $350,000, but I didn't have prices on what's called a multiplexer and a combiner. And that is to, when you go to the antenna site, instead of having to run two antennas or three antennas, wherever you need, only have to run one. And this combiner and multiplier allows you to transmit and receive at the same time on one antenna. And so that would be another step that you would have to cover if we ever went to a trunking system. That will already be in place. I didn't have a concrete price on that. I had an estimate on it. And so I used my estimate to get it up to about $400,000. One of the problems that we're going to run into when we're doing this, and this is far down the line, we're on VHF. VHF frequency is not something I can just reach over here and say, oh, that's a good one right there. I use it, just can't do that. It's crowded. You have to coordinate all that. So there is some fees that go with finding the right frequency. You got to find one that won't interfere with somebody close to you, or maybe with 150 miles of you. If you do, you have to get permission from them to use it. So there's a lot of little things to cover if we get the grant. It's just not I want to use that one. You can't do that. And we got to have three frequencies. We got to have six pairs. That's a lot of channels to get, but it can be done. It will take somebody, a person that does, and that's what we'll have to contract with somebody to go find all them frequencies. That's kind of that in a nutshell. I don't know if can I answer any more questions? No one will. Go ahead. Let me excuse me, tower sites. We've got to find tower sites that's already available. Because if we have to start building towers, that's $100,000 per site. We need to find one that's got a hut. We can put our equipment in. We got to find one that's got power, generator power for emergencies, all that. The Copper Cove should be no problem because the city owns the sites over there. I don't know. Me and Kyle talked a little bit about the west part of the county. Same thing in the northeast out. I don't know about out there, except with water towers. Coral City built a new water tower, only be about 125 foot high, which is probably enough because we don't want to blast everybody out. That's when we keep our antenna down below in areas like that. I did run some testing event with a mobile repeater. work fine. I could talk on the mobile repeater. It's a good clear out there about where Jack Walls lives. Most of y'all should know about where Jack lives. Good clear mountain out there, and there's already two antenna sites out there. So we could probably get on. What else? You know something else?
Billy, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
The judge on the commission on Billy's part there, if we've got a little bit of room. Remember, we've got a $2 million limit. We've got a little room left. If he runs into something, if we did have to put a tower in, I think we've got enough match. We're overmatched on this project enough that if we need to add a little bit when we come back in February, by then we should be really tight on our prices. And if we had to ask something, we do have a little bit of room left on the radio side or wherever we need to go.
So if we did have to build a tower, the money could be there.
I think if we build one, I think we can squeeze one in, Commissioner. And I think we've got enough extra match in this project with the equipment that we'd be okay. Any questions or anything you want to ask about the radio piece?
I think they're good.
So I'm going to open this up and then let the sheriff's office kind of lay on the table in detail. This is really their part. The third piece is like I said, one of the things that I found out when we first started working with them a little over a year ago is they don't really have a computer system dispatch. What they had's been dead a long time. And so they're kind of out there and it's a problem. And they can talk more about that. But as we were looking at this grant, we went back and asked if I actually asked the land office to be okay to do this. And they said, yeah, it would qualify. So in the last few days, we've added that in. And they scrambled to get everything to us, and we built it into this proposal. So it's the third piece. It's the computer system dispatch. With that, I'll hand it over to you guys to talk about that.
So we all know that EDOC is kind of, it's not innovative anymore, so we don't have any per se CAD system. So what this software will do is allow us to build a CAD that we can start dispatching our officers to calls for service, emergency management, and whatever else we need to put that. This will also fix some management problems inside of our agency as well with the software. Some of our management software for control and things of that nature, the jail software.
We really need to upgrade our stuff more for like state reporting requirements that we don't have, like NIVRS, race profiling, and stuff like that. It's getting harder and harder for me to report NIVRS with all the cases, and I bet you probably dealt with this when you're in GPS, all the NIVRS that we have to report. So how to close a case is, on this system, it's hard to do. So we can go as far as we can, but if I don't know the back end of it to close it out, it keeps our percentage for the state percentage down to, like, we're a little below 50%. And so with this new system and the companies we've been looking at, that's one of the first things we push for is this NIVRS compliant, first off, and has it worked for closing cases out and bringing our numbers up to state? And so racial profile will be phenomenal on this. NIVRS reporting will be so much easier with any system than what we're using now. So looking into this stuff, I really think it would help us out tremendously to continue this process with this stuff.
What's the continued cost for this system?
So right now we're paying $35,000 a year for EDOC, so recurring fee. This will give us everything for the whole sheriff's office. $29,000 a year recurring fee. $28,000 a year recurring. This also helps us stay in compliance with our bill as well. We have no system that keeps our inmates' medical records up to date. We're getting small gigs from jail commissions on paperwork pretty much, because we have nowhere to really store it anymore. We got a checklist for everything we do back there, and it's hard to keep up with it. But I'll let Captain McClinton speak on that aspect of the deal.
I'd like to speak outside of that realm as well. I think the big thing that we all need to take from this particular portion of this insurance plan is that this not only helps with our emergency management side of things for dispatching and 911 call taking and the assignment of those as they go through the workflow with the sheriff's department. This particular program that we're looking at also not only does that, but it gives us a new reporting system for patrol, which also helps with Chris with reporting to the state. I think that it also has a new evidence program built into it so that it helps our CID with case closures and tracking of evidence. These are things we don't have now that we've got to have. We're still on pen and paper, guys. And this is a system that's cheaper than what we have currently and gives us so much more. On the jail side of things, when we talk about compliance, like we did here in Buzzard, talking about a jail management system for records of each inmate that comes in and the keeping of those, right? Right now I have five different sites and a Connex full of old records, right, that I have to keep. Once they've been booked into jail, that's a lifetime retention. So it's much easier to keep those sort of things on a system that's backup available, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They, keeping those records that are not in written form in some type of storage facility, cloud, or infrastructure, whatever it may be. This particular program that we're talking about here has all of those things built in, where NIBRS only has reports. And you're paying more for one item that paying less, if you will, would fix all of it versus having several different recurring fees to be able to fix all of that.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep the court from having a piece there, piece there, piece there, and make the whole sheriff's office run completely. So this system will do it all. Evidence, labeling, barcodes, keep account of everything. And that's the thing too that Steve talked about with last year or this past year is we have all the equipment now. Everything's being installed in the vehicles.
Does he just comply?
Does he just comply? Correct. And that was one of our big things that he was going to do. So, but with everything wrapped into one, we'd be able to, our operations would be a lot smoother.
It would be quicker for the deputy with the CAD system being implied. The dispatchers can put out the address and then they can type in the notes what's going on. Those deputies would say, if we give it to this one that's over, we're not sure where he's at. The calls in Oglesby would bring up the other deputy that may be closer to Oglesby and say, hey, I've got that, I can take it. Well, he can read the call notes as he's going or look at the stuff. And also, once we start that call, any information they run from that scene will automatically be in the system, and if they arrest them, it automatically transfers it to the jail. We're not having to get on the phone and call them. It's automatically doing it. So all they've got to do is pick up where the deputy left off at the arrest. All that information is so much easier for our records clerk to have to get it. Right now, she's having to go up into an attic. She's having to go into a Connex. This would put it all in one local area where she doesn't have to do all that. The CAD, again, like we talked about in budget, those girls are literally writing every call sheet and then inputting it into the computer. They're writing a radio log, which will no longer have to be done because it automatically kept up in the CAD. All of this would take away a lot of the paper that they're having to do right now, because they would be able to type it immediately in and it automatically go where it needs to go. And right now they're having to take the call, get it wrote down, then they're dispatching it as quickly as they can. Then they're having to go back in and then input it in the computer. And that's just too much work for one person to try to do, especially if they're in there by themselves and the phone won't quit ringing and they've got seven other calls coming in. So getting an updated system would be so much easier. The other thing is, EDOC doesn't always save everything we put in it. I've got call sheets where it didn't put the call type in. It didn't put save the address. We've had to go back in and search and see what that call was and have to go back in and update it. I've been on EDOC myself, putting calls in and hit save, and it wiped everything off, and I had to re-enter every bit of it. So EDOC is not useful for us at all. We really do need to be switching to a higher system that can give us what we need.
Another thing that we're behind on too is open records requests. Yes. So open records requests, you know, Miss Ashley does a phenomenal job trying to get those pushed out, but unfortunately, we got to go up to an attic and we got to locate, or we got to go out to the Connex and try to locate these older cases and stuff. So with this system, the cases will be there. They type in a case, she pulls it up, she prints it out, they pay for it, whatever she do. And it also has a redaction system in there for her as well. So it'll redact all the information that doesn't need to be put out to the public. So she'll be able to just click a button, it'll redact whatever she needs, and then she can print that out and makes it easier for the public as well.
Yeah,
also, right. I wanted to point out something to y'all too about this CAD system for all, you know, officer safety as well. Mr. Matthews is aware of some of this stuff, but I wanted to point out the other day I had a young deputy Lucy, one of our female deputies. You know, she was out on the side of the road the other day, and this guy gave her a wrong name. Or his brother's name. Well, we can't see anything because dispatch has it all. They have photos, things like that. So we can't see anything out there on the roads. So this guy was a felon, had a tons of firearms in his vehicle, ammunition, bulletproof vest. The guy had a rap sheet that was a mile long and was convicted of impersonating peace officer, things of that nature. And so a violent felon out there, and luckily a DPS trooper stopped out with him. Said something ain't right, this ain't the right guy. I sent his information, pulled that up on TCIC. And sure enough, he gave his brother's information. Brother's been cleaning his whistle, but this guy's a tattoo. So luckily he stopped out with her, and we don't know what would happen, but you know, luckily he went to jail. We've also accidentally taken the wrong people to jail because they give false information, and this brother has a warrant for the Class C, but this guy's a felon. And then we get him out to jail with fingerprints on him, not who he says he is. So there's a lot the system can help us in emergency type situations, but.
So kind of wrap what they're talking about for us, we were looking at the grant, we saw that there was an opportunity to fit something else in that would fit under that umbrella. And what we're talking about in the application, we're gonna play a part on the emergency management side. The record management system and the jail stuff can kind of just tailgate in with it, but for the particular kind of grant it is, it's okay to have it, but what we're really talking about is the computer assisted dispatch, how it fits into emergency management. And they don't care if there's some other benefits that come along as long as we can justify that. So as we write up, we'll lead with that.
With this proposed software, and this isn't necessarily a deal breaker, but I'm just trying to make sure that we're getting things, we're still keeping, you know, things compatible. Because we're still using EDOC as our case management system. I mean, you know, with the district courts and the county courts, that's still going to be that is the software, case management software system for the immediate future. So this new program, this what you're talking about, will it integrate with EDOC so that?
Judge, if I may, you'll see a line item there for systems integration.
Yeah.
That very thing. We've got their old system. We've got a new one they're going to bring in. We've got the system that we've built, and they've got to work together and there's an issue about CJIS compliance because some of the stuff they're handling over there cannot bleed into the system. We're pushing out a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got money in. We're going to have FA pull the wagon on that, but we're going to have to do some system integration between the three for that very thing. So there's money in the budget to address that.
Okay.
And Judge, we were able to, without much trouble, like the system that Copper's Cove PD uses, which is obviously not EDOC, we were able to bring that into EDOC with any problem in our case management software to my office and the DA's office. So, and it was, you know, like a $5,000 deal. It wasn't that big a deal, and it works. We use it every day pretty much.
But yeah, no, Mr. Bell, I remember y'all doing that, and that's what I just wanted to make sure that you know, we're not spending money so that we get systems that become segregated and we have to go back to hand jamming, you know, data in from one system to another system. So, but it looks like it's covered in here, and so I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So So for us, you've heard from the folks, those are the three components. Again, we think they all fit underneath the umbrella for emergency management. The objective here is to make sure that y'all understand it and you're good with it so that the county can get an application filed between now and end of day on Thursday. And then assuming we get invited back, I think we probably will, then we would have time to sharpen our pencils and put a much more detailed application in.
And it doesn't cost anything to do the application?
No.
This is just right now, we're in the call for projects phase. And all they're doing is we'll put the information in and they're going to screen them and they're going to grade them and rank them to make sure that those that are being input meet the criteria that they're looking for with this new agreement that they've got with HUD. And if we rank however they want to rank us, if we rank and we meet that cut line, then they will then send us an invitation to apply. And that's the February date, February 17th. Is that right, Kim? So that's the February date. And then that becomes our decision point. This is not really, we're not committed to anything other than agreeing that this is the project that we want to submit for the project call.
And you're going to be okay with your procurement issues. I got them to run this, but their vendor that they're using for their costs is on the Bible. He's on the state Bible, or they are on the state Bible.
Yeah.
Of course, the stuff we're doing is already licensed, but there was some concern originally about whether or not y'all would have to go through procurement for that vendor, but they're on the Bible. So, Judge, Commissioner, any other questions for us on this?
I have none.
The last thing I just stress again, you got about 3 days to get the application in. We're more than willing. It has to come from the county. Mm-hmm. Technically, this is all the county land. But the application portal, like I said, she's been all over it. It would not be hard for us to provide some advice if we need it from the application. How long would it take to file that?
15 minutes.
I can't stress enough the need to get that in as quick as you can. Whoever's going to do it, I'm assuming the judge, but don't let it slip up on 3 days, not very far off.
He's here today, Judge.
I think I can carve out 15 minutes.
We'll authorize the time, Judge. You will spend it.
Discussions, thoughts?
Get the process started and see how we made out. Then,
yeah, I mean, I wrote down no cost to the county, 10% match built in, $7,000 savings over EDOC. Decision, we make the cut. And I like the project. I think it's one that this county certainly uses.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with that. It'll probably speed up the dispatch on first responder calls and stuff. I know we have when I'm on the fire department. So
the pager box would work with a better. But until we can do what Billy's asking to do, we're working with equipment that's not being made anymore, from my understanding. So we're doing, as far as getting y'all paged, they're doing the best they can do. Sometimes they're having to call Denzel PD just to get y'all paged out. So, and that's, again, that's where Billy's working, trying to
get that's all into jurisdictions. Does that automatically pull up?
Do we know who that was?
No, we've been paged out at Jonesboro for mm-hmm. stuff that's in flat.
That was, I've got new
this system.
Yes. I have a brand new dispatcher right now.
Yeah,
and I have,
that's what I'm trying to think, Matthew.
Yeah, three, but they do have maps and I can definitely put out to make sure because I know today, no, last night, the dispatch, because I happened to be in the office when they did it, they ended up turning the wrong person out and the dispatcher called what she did and then had to go back and redo it. And yeah. I addressed it. I said, y'all got to pay attention because you're telling people out that don't need to be going.
Well,
I think the answer for you, Commissioner, is if we go to a true CAD system, when that 911 address comes into the system, it's automatically going to tell you what part of the county it's in and who needs to be dispatched to it.
Well, that's what I was asking. This system is going to improve.
Yes.
I mean, I don't mind coming out at 2 o'clock in the morning if somebody needs help, but I don't want to be looking for a ramp out here when it's in flat.
Exactly.
Is this system drawn? How are you still going to get it back without the question?
It's still going to come in the way that it comes in right now.
And it's correct.
Because until SIGCOM has already told me once, they will not allow the sheriff's office to be a PSAP because of Cove and Gatesville. Gatesville is too close to the sheriff's office. They have to have, they've got to be apart. Otherwise, it's not working right. They did that with some other counties.
Combined dispatch center.
Why don't you just work that in? There's dollars out there.
You know somebody who
goes out with 5-8.
Like I've told you before, half the time they can't get along on the phone and you want to put them in a room?
Yeah. Yep, I sure do.
Because
it'll all work itself out. We just have to have a big pool so when they kill each other, we can get
no
there's no problem.
It'll be a quick dispatch to it.
Huh?
It'll be a really quick dispatch.
But there's a lot of problems with this because it's answered here, transferred here.
Mm-hmm.
And if this would allow you to see their screen, is that what it would do?
Well, we can see some of the alley pulls up, and you've seen what we can see. All it gives us is a possible is the location, latitude, and longitude, and a phone number. That's all we get.
But over there, it shows them who's supposed to be going. That's what I want to know.
Well, we can take the latitude and longitude if the girls would do it. Because I watched three or four of them do this. They take the latitude and longitude. They put it into the 911 map that we've got from him, and it automatically pulls it up.
Okay. But actually the 911 call it tells you already what fire department, what EMS, what sheriff's department. That's what I want to know. Is it gonna be able to transfer this straight to you?
I don't
know that it would transfer, but I know that once they receive it on NEI and they enter that address or coordinates into the system, then it's gonna bring up this is who needs to go where.
Okay.
And once with the new CAD system, once they put that address in for that call sheet, it already maps it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, that would help.
Yes.
Yeah, Randy's company actually built it. So, who's the JP? What fire department is? Where that?
Yeah, I'm saying that I have this. Yeah. I'm just going to ask you a question while they're thinking. How is FA coming along on our app?
They're very close right now. I stopped in there this morning and dropped off some hardware. They're going to kind of the next phase of testing it, but they've got it built. It's on separate app. You hit it, you log in, it brings up the web app, and it's on. You don't have to hold
it.
That's
going to take a while.
Yeah. It's looking really good.
So, Judge, Commissioners, y'all are good to go if you're all saying good. Wow. And you're going to let us know if you want some help. 15 minutes, Judge. You're not very long. We can get here and knock this thing out if you want it.
We can get it done before 3.
I've 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So that we've got a record, I think it would be appropriate to have a motion and a vote on the submission of a Coryell County Emergency Communications Project or DRRP.
Somebody.
Got a motion from Commissioner Basham. Second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion concerning the communications project as it's been presented and outlined to you? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. That concludes our business, but I would give commissioners opportunity for any closing remarks?
Well, we got some moisture out there in the western part of the county this morning, which was nice. So we got a lot of wind. And there's a little bit of damage to a couple of homes, I believe. Lost some shingles, and water co-op lost a roof to one of the pump houses. But we got some moisture. That's all I got.
Okay. Anything else from anybody?
For me.
All right. Hearing none, that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.